Okay, we're back on the agenda, item number two. It's a report, SSC report. Dr. Kreitzer is going to deliver that. He's our vice chair. I'll turn it over to you, Jake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As John just said, I'm Jake Kreitzer, the vice chair of the SSC, standing in for our chair, Chris LaGault, who is up in Canada at the track meeting this week. Whoa. Okay. I'm reporting the outcomes of our meeting last week here in Portland on Tuesday and Wednesday, where we had two major items on the agenda, providing advice to the groundfish PDT, the augmented PDT, on their analyses of groundfish projections that are the basis for ABCs, and also setting a skate ABC for the 2012 and 2013 fishing years. We also had two items of other business I'll provide, a quick summary of a discussion of risk policy and a discussion of SSC communications. And I'll take these in the order listed, which is the order we addressed them at the meeting. Per the chairman's advice, I'm just going to go through the entire presentation and then take questions at the end unless there's any objections to that. Where do I point this? There we go. Okay, so starting off with groundfish projections. Background behind this agenda item, there we need to set ABCs for 2012, 2013, and 2014 fishing years for the 19 groundfish stocks. Four stocks have new assessments, and ABC setting will be fairly straightforward. Three are index-based stocks, which will just use the same methods that have been used in recent years as well. The problem comes with these 12 stocks that do not have new assessments since GARM 3. For those 12 stocks, the projections that would be the basis for ABCs in 2012 through 14 are going to extend from 5 to 7 years beyond the terminal year of GARM 3, which was 2007. And that 5 to 7 year projection timeline is a bit beyond the sort of scientific comfort zone of 2 to maybe 4 years, over which we typically feel confident in making projections. So given that we potentially need to use longer term projections than we've had in the past, the groundfish PDT was augmented, hence the APDT initialism there, with additional experts to do a more detailed analysis of kind of the validity of projections. And they reported to the SSC on their work done to date. The work is still in progress. So our task was basically to advise them on what they should do in the next 2 months or so based on the outcomes of what has been done to date. We weren't setting ABCs or even approving an ABC setting method, but rather giving the PDT some guidance on how to continue these analyses. They presented updates on two analyses. One was a regression of survey biomass estimates on assessment biomass. The idea there was to see if the survey could be a reliable indicator of the biomass estimated in the assessment, and therefore could potentially be used to gauge how close the projections are to what's really going on in the water. Following that, we got another evaluation of projection performance that I'll talk about in a moment. But I'm just going to go through quickly the outcomes of this regression analysis as reported to us by the APDT. So this is a sample plot from that analysis. I think this is for Gulf of Maine cod, and what it shows is the relationship between survey biomass and assessment biomass. This kind of scatter plot and this kind of regression was done for all 12, I believe, stocks without current assessments. This table provides the summary of those results. The top is cut off here, but basically what we're looking at are the adjusted R-square values for this relationship using different types of survey data to regress on the assessment biomass. The values highlighted in yellow are those that are significant at the 0.05 level. And it suggests that this analysis showed a lot of promise, that there were more significant relationships than there were non-significant relationships. However, the PDT quickly noted to us that this should not give us great confidence. It's not that hard to get a significant regression, and in fact, despite the fact that there was, in many cases, a relationship between survey estimates and assessment biomass, there was a lot of variability, and the predictive ability of these relationships was actually pretty poor. So this plot is an example of that, again, for Gulf of Maine cod. The black dots are the actual biomass, which means the biomass as estimated in the assessment. The black line running through the middle of those series of lines is the biomass predicted using these regression models. The red and green lines outside of them are different measures of error and variability. But basically what this shows is that often, in fact, in too many cases to be terribly useful, the biomass predicted by these regressions was too far off the biomass from the assessments. So the conclusion here was that the survey was probably not going to be a reliable gauge of how good the projections are doing. The PDT, having come to that conclusion, which the SSC agreed with, started on another track, which was a closer look at the projections themselves and trying to see how well the projections do relative to assessment biomass and where there were deviations, what might be causing those deviations, and how it might be fixed. This was very preliminary work. Chris LaGault did this work and presented us the results for Georges Bank Yellowtail flounder, which is the only stock he's looked at so far. So what he was doing was taking the results of the 2010 assessment as quote-unquote truth, as the real biomass, and then went back in time to 2001 as if the assessment had ended there and ran the projections forward to see how well those projections from 2001 matched up with the biomass estimated in the 2010 assessment. He tried three different approaches to doing the projections. One was a simple projection, which is basically just kind of the status quo projection methodology. But he tried two other approaches as well. One was to apply a retrospective adjustment to the projections. We apply retrospective adjustments to several of the assessments, but that's looking back in time at historical patterns of biomass and recruitment and fishing mortality. This was actually applying a retrospective adjustment to the projection to see if it could get us closer to what the true biomass was. He also tried fixing the numbers at age in the first year of the projection, 2001, using values from the 2010 assessment. That actually can't be done in practice, so that would mean we'd have to have some assessment that hasn't taken place yet to set our starting conditions. So this wasn't done so much as a potential projection methodology. Rather, what Chris was trying to get at here was to see how sensitive the projection outcomes were to the starting conditions. And so the next year beyond when our assessment ends, if we had that information, if we had a better estimate of our starting conditions, does that change the outcome? And he found it did, that if making that adjustment as well as making the retrospective adjustment, both got the projection closer to what the true biomass was. But there were still fairly large disparities. And a lot of that right now, the analysis is still ongoing and there's a lot of questions to ask, but seems to be driven by some fairly large disparities in recruitment, recruitment values that factored into projections versus those that actually were realized and estimated by the assessment. So the lessons learned are that those starting conditions matter, that we need to look in more detail at these recruitment disparities and how to overcome them. But starting to make these fixes is suggesting that there's potential for reasonable performance of projections out to maybe 5 years. So getting a little bit beyond our current kind of comfort zone. but still not much confidence in taking these beyond 5 years. There we go. So the SSC advice to the PDT as they continue this work, we agreed that the regression results suggest approaches other than survey biomass are going to be needed to evaluate projections we're working under in any given year. But that this analysis, this very new analysis that is looking to evaluate the projections themselves against survey biomass, shows a lot of promise. It should continue and should dig deeper into the causes of deviations as well as the fixes. One of the terms of reference for this was the question of whether when we have some kind of gauge on how close our projections are to what's really going on in the water, whether adjustments to ABCs would be made upwards or downwards. The SSC agreed that in principle the adjustments will be made upwards or downwards as the evaluation dictates, but really the details of the analysis are going to make the final determination, including the magnitude of deviations, whether there's any bias, et cetera. So we weren't philosophically opposed to either upward or downward adjustments, but I don't think we're ready to commit to anything until we see what the final analysis looks like. One question that was raised and we just sort of put to the PDT to bear in mind is, as they continue to both evaluate the performance of projections, diagnose reasons for disparities, and look for methods to improve them, they should keep an eye on what point the work being done along those lines is going to equal or exceed the work needed for just doing a new assessment. That said, we also agreed there is value in doing this work, not just for the immediate groundfish needs, but for potentially for other FMPs in the future or for groundfish in the future, that we're going to have to be using projections over some timescale for many stocks, and that this kind of diagnostic work actually could have a lot of value. Nevertheless, we thought this was an important question. And finally, if the ongoing work, the outcome is that we really have fairly low confidence in projections beyond that 2 to 4 year comfort zone, the PDT should be developing non-projection-based approaches to setting the new ABCs as alternatives. There we go. So that was the report from on the groundfish projection discussion. Do we want to take questions now, or should I move right on?
Does anybody have a burning question? Dr. Pierce?
Well, I don't know if it's burning, but in light of what you just said, when I look at the report from the SSC to Paul Howard, this is document GF number 1, I see at the bottom of the page a sentence that begins, specifications for 2010 and 2011, therefore projected 3 and 4 years beyond the terminal year. But forthcoming specifications for 2012, 13, and 14 would require projections 5, 6, and 7 years beyond the terminal year. So I'm trying to reconcile that conclusion with what you said regarding projections for 12, 13, and 14 that would use perhaps 2 to 4 years because that's the comfort zone.
Basically, as it's written, was the point that for the this is sort of a scientific rule of thumb, but projections we typically feel fairly comfortable using them 2 to 4 years beyond the terminal year of an assessment, and that's what we've done so far. So the ABC for 2011, for example, is based on a projection 4 years out from the 2007 terminal year. It's when we get into 2012, 2013, 2014, using projections from the GARM 3 assessment, we're now projecting 5, 6, and 7 years beyond the terminal year of the assessment. And that's where confidence really starts to drop off.
Okay, and that's why the SSC said that new assessments would be required in order to provide useful, reasonable recommendations regarding 2012, 13, and 14?
I think we were very careful to not say new assessments would be required. If that was our belief, then I think it would be a bit disingenuous to be urging the PDT to continue trying to find ways. I mean, essentially what they're trying to do is find ways to continue working off the GARM 3 assessments to set ABCs for 2012, 13, and 14. And if we felt that could not be done other than with new assessments, I think we would have said that. You know, that in our conversation, that point, we came back to that point often, that is that ideally we'd have new assessments. But we also recognize that there are real practical constraints of personnel, money, et cetera, and that for 2012 at least, we're likely to be living with GARM 3 assessments. And so trying to figure out how we can use projections from that assessment, getting beyond where, at least historically, we would have otherwise.
Okay, but right now the SSC is saying that projections using survey information are not reliable, not useful, but you're encouraged by some of the work that's been done so far, and it's kind of a wait and see as those who are doing continued work try to come up with some solution to the problem.
Right. The regression analysis using the surveys was used to see if we could take a projection that was beyond 4 years, or I suppose even less than 4 years, compare it to the survey and kind of gauge how close that projection was to reality. The regression analysis was aimed at determining how good the survey is in providing that gauge, and the outcome was it's not all that good. Now, we did feel there might be ways to use the survey in modifying projections, but not necessarily as was the intent of that regression, as sort of a check or immediate calibration. So, for example, one idea we talked about was if the surveys could somehow give better estimates of actual recruitment that could be sort of factored into a projection rather than just drawing randomly, for example, from a recruitment distribution, we might get the projection closer to reality.
Yeah, just I'll end with a quick comment. I think that the report from the SSC, the one I just referenced, GF number 1 and GF number 5, are very frank, very well done, very useful, and quite transparent. Yeah. Thanks.
Anyone else? Mark Gibson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is a big problem in my view. Scrapping for methods to try to extend GARM results, and I was dumbfounded when I heard from Dr. Thompson there wasn't going to be any more GARMs when I asked about the next one, and now I'm even more dumbfounded by why we're not going to have any intensive and timely stock assessments. I understand we're catching up on parts of them according to priorities in piecemeal fashion, but I think that's a big mistake, and it's going to be the chickens are coming home to roost right now as we scratch around for methods to try to extend old results. It's not surprising to me that the regression approach failed because the survey indices are not smooth for measurement errors. They have zigs and zags in them that are not related to the population biomass per se. I would suggest that a better approach would have been to smooth the survey indices using that low-S procedure and vary the tension parameter until you get the best match between the survey index and the reconstructed population biomass. Then once that's done, use the GARM 8 catchability coefficient to raise the survey biomass into the projection level and see how that works out. But we're still grasping at straws here until we get a more aggressive assessment schedule. Thank you.
Just a quick comment on Mark's comment. I, in the initial version of this report, had added language that said the regression failed as well and was quickly corrected on that. That the regression, in fairness to Tom and his team, the regression analysis did exactly what it was intended to do, which was to see how well a survey estimate from any year could provide us a sort of check on the projection. And the response was, it doesn't. Your ideas, though, may improve its ability to do that, but it was actually successful, which is, and it led to greater emphasis on what Chris LaGault is now leading, these more kind of detailed diagnostics of the projections. All right, so moving on to skates. Basically, our task here was to provide an ABC for 2012 and 2013 fishing years. There we go. That's cut off a bit as well, but this is just a quick look at where the different skate species are. Winter and little skate have seen very strong rebounds and are both above the biomass target. Barn door and clear nose as well. Barn door and rosette are somewhere between the biomass thresholds and biomass targets, but thorny and smooth skate remain at or below the threshold. So mixed status of the species within the complex. One important thing to note here is the magnitude, which you can't see very well, but the magnitude of the y-axis for the different species. The bulk of the biomass is in little skate and winter skate, and they really are the main drivers of the final ABC. There we go. This is pulled from the PDT memo to the SSC. It just gives an overview of the specification process. We determine an ABC, and the ACL is set equal to that ABC. In order to account for management uncertainty, an annual catch target is then set as 75% of that ACL. That annual catch target is reduced based on estimates of dead discards and state landings produce total allowable landings, which is then allocated between the wing and bait fisheries. And the schematic provides also the values that we're working under right now. Essentially, we decided to just maintain this current control rule. We did make one change to its application, and if I could... Yeah, it's not. Thank you. And that was in the discard mortality estimates that were used in setting these catch limits. The table on the top there summarizes a literature review of discard mortality estimates of skates and other similar elasmobranch species from all over the world in trawl and dredge fisheries. The PDT then took the range of values and came up with a mean of 50% discard mortality, which is what had been used in the in setting the specifications previously. However, there is an ongoing study focused on little and winter skate in the Gulf of Maine, which is really the first study along these lines that's focusing on both species in the FMP and the area covered by the FMP. And we received an update, an overview of that study, which is summarized in the bottom table there, which produces discard mortality estimates for trawl caught, little, and winter skate. The proposal from the PDT was to use those values for those two species and that particular gear in determining the ABC, and to use the 50% value for all other species and all other gears. And the SSC agreed with that recommendation. We felt that even though the study is ongoing, its sample sizes, methodologies, and analytical approaches have been equal or even superior to many of the published studies. So that was really the biggest change in applying the current control rule, is that we use these new discard mortality estimates of 20% for little skate and 12% for winter skate from trawl gear. Joan, could you? Yeah, that's all right. So our advice on this then was to, again, use the current control rule, but incorporating these new discard mortality estimates for little skate and winter skate caught by trawl, which gives an ABC and therefore an ACL value of 50,435 metric tons. That was our primary term of reference, but we also revisited a recommendation we had provided in our April 2010 report on skates, where we urged a reconsideration of the strategy for managing skates. And this meeting and in this report, we went into that in a little more detail and talked about three issues in particular. To be clear, we're not recommending at this stage that any of these things be done, but at least that they be considered. And those were, one, to consider a control rule that is tied to either biomass or stock status. Right now, the control rule is independent of either. Two was to consider developing ABCs either for individual species or potentially for area-based stock units, such as Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, Mid-Atlantic. Right now, there is an ABC for the entire U.S. EEZ and that for all species combined. And also to look at whether we can develop better MSY reference points or at least proxies than those used at present. Oops. And finally, I just have a quick summary of our discussions of other business, but I don't know if I want to take skate questions now. Sure.
Skate questions. Going once, twice.
Outstanding.
Continue on.
So finally, we had discussions of these two other issues. What's cut off in the top there is the heading risk policy. We were presented a memo from council staff outlining a proposed process for developing a risk policy. It's my understanding that that memo is in the council members' packets, and the bottom line there was we endorsed the proposal, and several members put their hands up to participate in that process if the executive committee decides that it's worth moving forward. And I won't say much more on that. We also talked about sort of the broad issue of communications, including communications between the SSC and the council, as well as between the SSC and other stakeholders. This was raised by Pat Sullivan, but a few other members had seen need to consider this as well, had put forth anecdotes of evidence where our communications seemingly could be improved. And we ran through some ideas for how to do that. One was to hold, we've done this at times in the past, but perhaps not enough, to hold our meetings jointly with the council. We also discussed having SSC members work with council members and staff in addressing the recommendations of the regional audit that was discussed earlier today. For example, one of the ideas I think is being considered is to hold sort of informal listening sessions the night before council meetings, and if that moves forward, it would really make sense to make sure SSC members participate. Looking beyond the council to stakeholders more broadly, few SSC members told tales and really recommended the value of getting out into the field and meeting with industry members and other stakeholders. We could do that formally and sort of send SSC members out, but more likely it would be just sort of informal and just encouraging members to get out and interact with stakeholders. And another idea was to receive reports from the APs on sort of broader trends in the fishery beyond what we consider in the scientific analyses that make up our meeting documents. And this, I believe, is akin to something that's going on in the Mid-Atlantic Council. At least that's what we heard from several folks in the meeting. So those are just a few ideas for how we can begin improving communications, as well as an endorsement of the council staff's proposed process for developing risk policy. And that about concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for Jake? David?
Yeah, Jake, on the holding joint meetings, is that in regards to the setting the risk policy? I mean, I think that would be a place where a joint meeting could be very useful so that we're not sending letters back and forth, that we're all sitting in the same room talking to each other.
Right. I actually think what we meant by joint meetings was essentially having us meet in the same place in the same time that the council is meeting. So we wouldn't necessarily be in the same room, but we'd all be in the same place. I think, though, that's also an important idea. And it's something we did talk about. For some reason, didn't make it into our into the list of recommendations, but we did discuss actually having meetings where SSC and council were in the same room at the same place. We'd need a really big table, but if we can pull that off, I think it would be worthwhile.
Dr. Pierce?
Mr. Chairman, do we need a motion relative to that particular recommendation from the SSC and council development of risk policy? Because if you'd like a motion, I can give you one. Okay. I would move consistent with the SSC recommendation on development of a risk policy on development of risk policy should form a work group comprised of representation from the SSC, the Northeast Fishery Science Center, the Northeast Regional Office, NERO, and council staff to develop approaches to risk policy for the council to consider. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman, which reflects the recommendation of the SSC.
Is there a second? It's seconded by Doug Grout. Need any discussion on this? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Sixteen. Any no votes? Any abstentions? David?
Again, relative to the SSC report, there is a recommendation related to skates. Would you prefer to wait until we get to the skate agenda item?
I'll just ask, Jake, do you plan to be here for the skate discussion?
I do.
Okay. Why don't we hold off then, David? Thank you. Anything else under SSC report? Mary Beth?
Yeah, I was just noting some of the discussion you had about communication and some thoughts on what might be appropriate things to try. And I do think it links back to Maggie Raymond's comment about formalizing the AP input. And the Mid-Atlantic has done a very significant change in how the AP participates in the spec-setting process. And as the executive committee looks at all those things, I think it's important to keep in mind what the SSC is saying on the topic and how we do utilize the APs.
Anything else? Thank you, Mayor Beth. Anything else? I had a question, Jake. I was looking at the biomass charts you put up for skates, and just wondering, barn door seems to be way up there. I know, I guess it hasn't been rebuilt yet or declared rebuilt. But I wonder out loud, at what point can the industry begin to bring barn doors home when they encounter them? It's in a much different place than Thorny Skate.
It is, and I don't know if I'm the guy to answer that question.
I don't know if Frank is. I'm curious. Barn door skate seems to be doing quite well. And I just wonder at what point will we be able to remove the prohibition on retention from the industry? It's a question for Pat.
I think that would be a council determination based on the SSC recommendation for ABC, and whether or not the ACL associated with that would allow for any kind of fishing and still achieve the goals for the FMP.
So I know the issue did come up at the SSC meeting in passing, and you know, we, as the council knows, we have a prohibition on retention of barn door. I mean, I think it was about 6 years ago there was a petition that listed as endangered, but looking at it today, it appears that it's in relatively good shape, probably the third highest out of the seven species in the complex. I know it's been suggested, at least I think it was mentioned to the SSC, that perhaps a benchmark assessment for barn door is what's required to take a look at the biomass target that currently exists, because that was set at a different time with much less information on the stock and very little experience in management of the complex of the stocks. So I put that out there because I hear it from industry members from several different ports that at certain times of the year, they encounter a tremendous amount of barn door and just find it sort of ridiculous that there appears to be a stock that's come back and we have a management plan for the resource and they're not able to land them. So see it as a conflict. Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I no dispute with any of that. I think my only comment would be I think that's consistent with our recommendation to reconsider the overall strategy for managing skate. And beyond that, you know, those, you're right, we did touch upon various issues that have to do with management of skate, for instance, trip limits and the like. But those approaches have so far been beyond the purview of the SSC. We give what we think is a sustainable harvest number, and you guys figure out how to manage that. Maybe that should change, but those issues were raised but not discussed in any depth.
All right. David?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We, if you look at the meeting summary for skates, bottom of page 6, top of page 7, it's document number 5 under tab 13, which we'll be referring to shortly anyway, so you may as well pull it out. The committee did have a discussion of this, and there is a recommendation here that the issue should be raised with the NRCC because it revolves around having a stock assessment, basically, because it's still under a rebuilding schedule. And until it's declared rebuilt, we're in a bit of a jam.
Well, I've been thinking about that. The decision to go no possession on that resource was our decision. That was the way we decided to deal with the current status or feeling of the status of the resource. But I can't recall seeing anywhere in any law or regulation that requires the council to maintain no possession until it's rebuilt. I think we had certainly have the latitude to consider retention, even without it being declared rebuilt. I just throw that out there. I know we're going to get into a skate discussion after this, but any other discussion or questions for Jake? Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall of Effort Siebel Consulting. I'd just like to take on the opportunity to point out that this is a great example of rush to judgment on some of these species that we have very little information on. While it's probably and most likely appropriate to have concern or to exhibit concern when a species is brought up as a matter of concern, with similar to what the bluefin tuna had just been. But the rush to make them an endangered species or put them in a position where there's no retention or no fishing for a species with little or no information other than where it becomes a poster child and a drive is put out there to get it into that position, I think the council ought to exhibit a little bit more caution on that. And then once you do have a determination that it may not be as bad, I like your approach that it might be time to, for a reconsideration of this. So, but I think it's a great, great example of that, because Barndore State was supposedly a long-lived species that was going to be slow to rebuild, and yet as soon as we start looking for that particular species, we find that it doesn't really meet the level of concern that was exhibited. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone on the council, anything further for Jake? Jake.
If we're done, can I just make a closing comment? I just want to say to you, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the rest of my committee members, how much we've appreciated over the last 3 years your not only regular attendance but very active participation in our meetings. Heard time and time again just how much it helps sort of keep us grounded and focused on management needs, process, timeline, et cetera. So just a word of thanks as you step down, and a hope that your successor will follow in those same footsteps.
Thanks, Jake. Okay, I guess we'll switch gears and go right into skate.